You guys have any thoughts before we get rolling, before we get started?
How do you, like, if you're in space and there's something that you really don't want to fellowship with, and there's a particular person, and they're trying, and they're, you know, starting a conversation, like, how do you respond to the person in order and not be, you know, rude or wrong towards that person?
Uh-huh.
And still not fellowship with the wrong thing.
What do you mean in order?
Like, if somebody were to come to me and start a conversation, it would be out of order for me to just say, shut up, I don't want to talk to you.
Not always. Honestly, not always. It depends what they come to you with. There are people I want to talk to. Plain and simple. If they come up to me, if they would come up to me, I would walk away. That's not the norm. But there are people like that. Unfortunately, some of them I used to be friends with. One of them I actually had for a little while thought about going on the mission field to join him. If he talked to me today, with the attitude that he has, I would not speak to him. I think as Christians, we have to, you know what happens? We get these religious concepts of nicety. And first of all, what is wrong with that? Because God loathed religion. The Pharisees were religious, perfectly religious people, but they didn't know God. They were the children of the devil, and that is what Jesus had called them. Religion is a deception. Be careful. I don't mean Christianity. I mean religion. But much of Christianity is very religious. And that's not good. Where it's an outward production without the inward transformation of the heart. And there you have religion. What I do or what I say has to come from an inward transformation of the heart before there is any outward production. And then it is the Holy Spirit. But there are people that I would not give the time of day to, not out of anger or hostility or rudeness, but out of conviction. The Word of God does not say, talk to everyone who talks to you. Sometimes it is simply sentimentality. And sentimentality is not a good thing. Can you imagine if the Father was sentimental towards the Son? Then I would be going to hell. Sentimentality is most definitely not a good thing. Kindness is appropriate. And always be kind. But it may seem unkind for me to not talk to that person. But then again, it seemed unkind for Christ to be crucified and the Father to have established that plan. Do you realize that the Father established the plan in which His own Son, the only one He had actually begotten of His own seed, had been crucified? He established that plan. Sentimentality is not a good thing. I like what Pastor Shibeli did one time. It was kind of an interesting thing. At his house, when his son was in college, they had a curfew. It was 10 o'clock, you're at home. His son came home one night at 10:05, knocked on the door. Pastor Shibeli went to see who it was. He said, hi, Dad, I'm home. Can you let me in? He said, the curfew's at 10. He said, yeah, I know, I'm a little late. He said, I'll see you in the morning. And the boy slept outside all night. He had no sentimentality toward his son. His son is a very godly man now. He's in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, I'm not sure. But he's a very godly man now. He's a man of solid convictions and a spirit-filled, spirit-led young man. He's a missionary, I believe, right now. I'm not positive about that, I just think so. He has real character. Sentimentality will take away character. Sentimentality will spare the cross. But the cross is the only way that I experience the life of God. Never be sentimental. Don't be sentimental toward yourself either. I think that is very common, that we get sentimental towards ourselves. And we kind of go awe to ourselves. You poor dear. And God's over there just kind of looking at you saying, you know, you're a little bit weird. Going awe to the flesh. He said, I didn't go awe to your flesh. I crucified it. Don't be sentimental toward yourself. Self-indulgence will destroy a walk with God. You know what self-indulgence will do? Self-indulgence will put you on the throne, and then as soon as somebody does or says something you don't like, you have a real problem. Self-indulgence weakens the believer. It incapacitates them for walking with God. See, without faith, I can't walk with Him. Because unless two are agreed, how can they walk together? Well, God is not going to change His mind. So I'm going to need to change mine. Because otherwise, I will not walk with Him. Self-indulgence will not allow me to do that. There are people I would not talk to. Now, there are situations where you are stuck in a position where you can't remove yourself from someone because of whatever reason. If in your situation, I would be polite. I would not be unkind or hostile. But I would not have more of a conversation than necessary. I would say hello, goodbye. If they ask a question, I would answer it. But I would not have more of a conversation than necessary. There are people you can talk to, and they may even be believers, who will drain the life out of you. And you go in there and you talk to them. If you are spirit-filled, now the funny thing is that believers who live like the world, who lack the Word of God resident in their soul, in their hearts, who don't have the Word of God transforming their minds, those believers will not discern when they are being drained. To them, it is making small talk or being courteous and simply getting into a meaningless conversation. Never forget my first pastor. He took it seriously when the Word of God says, let your words on earth be few. He was the most odd man in the world to be around for those people who would live in the flesh. You'd say hello, he'd say hi. Nice weather, huh? It kind of went like that. Now, that's not because he was being unkind. That's because he felt he could not afford to have the life sucked out of him by idle chatter and vain words. Some believers indulge in those things, thinking they are being friendly. But the Word of God says, let your words be few, because you're going to give an account for them. There is a word accountability. I will give an account for every idle word that I speak. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to speak religiously or quote scriptures every time I open my mouth. That means, however, that the nature of God should come through my tongue. And if the nature of God is not coming through somebody's tongue, quite frankly, I will not be unkind to them, but I'm not going to spend any more time than I have to. Because they are taking away my life. A lot of women have this problem. Men can too. Where they will use many words and really say very little. And that happens. They are taking your life away and they are taking their own life away and they don't recognize it. And you walk away and you're tired. And you say, "Ooh, that really sucked the life out of me. That made me empty." That's not good. It is possible to walk in the Spirit every moment of the day. Before I open my mouth, I acknowledge the Holy Spirit. In the morning, when I get up, I say, "Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me." When you ask me a question, I say, "God, fill me, help me to hear from you. I don't know the answer." Because the question that you ask is posed in words. I don't know the heart. You see, what I need to hear is the heart. The words are just clothing. I need to hear the heart. I can't hear the heart apart from hearing the Holy Spirit. Because only God sees into the heart. So if I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit as I am hearing the question, then I don't actually know what is being asked. So what do? I listen to the Spirit of God, a still small voice that is faithful to speak whenever I ask. It is not a vague impression. It is a voice. It is not a loud voice. It is not audible voice. I hear it in my heart. I don't hear it in my ears and I don't hear it in my head. I hear the voice of God in my heart. What do I do if I'm going into a situation where I believe I'm going to talk to someone who's going to drain me? I pray. I practice the presence of God. I fellowship with the Holy Spirit as they are speaking. Sometimes I will hear what they are saying. Sometimes they're not saying anything at all. They're just talking a lot. But in any case, I'll be able to discern. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, I answer. When the Holy Spirit does not speak, I don't answer. Sometimes I need to wait before I answer because I haven't heard yet. Personally, I like to say, "Well, anybody want to handle that one?" Always speak with the heart of God. In order to speak with the heart of God, you have to know the heart of God. You see, there are only the two kingdoms. There is not a third one. There is no middle ground. There is a wall, a gulf, a division, a separation between them. I cannot have a little bit of one kingdom and a little bit of the other. If the wrong kingdom is in there, it is in there in its entirety. It is not, I am 90% spiritual, 10% carnal. It's, I am 100% carnal and also totally deceived. I have to be careful to hear from God before I speak. It does not matter if I'm speaking to a group or one person, because one soul is worth more than all the world. I need to realize that I am talking to a soul. I'm not talking to flesh. Although I see a human being, I see their physical features. But I'm talking to a soul. What will I do to that soul? Will I build it and will I edify it? Or will I tear it down and destroy it a little bit? I need to talk through the Holy Spirit of God. Because unless I am talking through the Holy Spirit of God, I am ushering in the wrong kingdom. In a manner of speaking, Satan has his own anointing. And for those who are willing, he will give it to them. He will energize just the same way that a spirit-filled preacher, for example, or a spirit-filled believer, will impart life when he speaks. And you don't even know quite why sometimes. The words weren't that remarkable. They were perhaps very simple words. But the anointing was profound. And it breaks the yoke. In an anointing, I can tell you that God loves you and will penetrate to the depths of the heart. Without an anointing, I can tell you God loves you and it's no different than a bumper sticker. Likewise, the enemy anoints in a manner of speaking. He quickens and he energizes words. If I have the wrong source for my anointing, if I have the enemy's anointing, I can penetrate to the heart. If I have the enemy's anointing, I will use the word of God as a bat. This is why I don't like religion. You see, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And in the name of God, he will destroy a soul. He will bring the word of God and he will say, perform this. The fact of the matter is no human being alive except for Christ could ever perform this. So he sets me up with an impossible task and then condemns me for not being able to do it. And he'll say to me, I told you, do this. And I cannot. He will do this through the wrong form of authority. Teachers who are not godly, for example, who do not treat their students with kindness and compassion, will do that. Not that they take away order or structure, they take away love and kindness in the name of order and structure. This is a bad thing. I must always speak with the heart of God. Because if I don't speak with the heart of God, then whose heart will I speak with? Well, I have a mind, I can think. Certainly, I can figure this out. Oh, really? Can you now? This is very interesting. My Bible says that man looks only at the outward appearance, and God looks only at the heart. So tell me, God, what is it that you see in their heart? You know what that is? That is a form of hypocrisy that is energized by the enemy. Because it brings in a law and it says, perform. Strengthening the sin nature of the one it was given to and setting them up for total failure. Once they fail, because that law has become a part of the frame of reference, once they fail, they are condemned. Because the law condemns. And they get the wrong identity. And their capacity for walking with God through the wrong identity becomes destroyed. What I need to do, as a teacher, for example, is set up order through the heart and the nature of God. When I'm in my classroom, I have heard numerous teachers say, you've got to be really tough on the first day. Don't let them see you smile. And then later you can crack a smile. But really kind of like get them in shape, get them in order on the first day and they'll listen to you. I know teachers who do this and their students don't listen to them a lick. You know why? Because those teachers have not built any capacity in their students to listen. You know what I do on the first day of class? I play with my students. I have fun with them. I clown around a lot. Half the time they're not sure if I'm absolutely insane. But you know what it does? It sets up a capacity for order. I've never once had to yell at my class. Not once. Sometimes I'll get upset in my emotions and I'll keep my mouth shut. Why? Because I have to maintain a capacity for order. Order does not come through trying to force people's volition. Order comes from establishing a certain standard. And if I establish that standard, then the order is present. Now, does that mean I don't discipline? No, it means I do discipline, but never harshly and never cruelly. The first, second day of class this semester, I gave out 3 lunch detentions. Kids thought it was hysterical. Not that they liked the discipline, but the paper looks funny. That's order with capacity. Unless I establish a capacity, there will be no capacity for order. You got to bring in life. Even when you discipline, you have to bring in life. Even when you establish structure, you have to bring in life. Because that is the very purpose of having a structure. If I establish a structure out of death, for example, if like I can think of one teacher, she hollers at her kids half the time I pass by her classroom. You know what? Her kids can't stand being in her class and they don't do very well. They don't learn very much and they don't listen very well either. I tell you, I've taken kids with this principle who other teachers have said to me, this is a horrible kid. This kid is a nightmare to have in your class. When you were in my class, I had a student like that. A boy, another teacher told me, this kid is like, he's given me nothing but a hard time. Watch out for this kid. He's going to be a nightmare. Kid was delightful. He was fun to be around. He was pleasant. He had a sense of humor, and once in a while we could stop and goof off and have a little bit of fun and lighten the atmosphere in the classroom. The kid wasn't a nightmare. He just had no capacity for that teacher's lack of ability to establish proper order in his classroom. And so he reacted at that teacher. Had order in the classroom, had levity. And order, by the way, does come with levity. There's a lightheartedness to order, because there can be. And that lightheartedness establishes the foundation for the order. There's a lightheartedness to it. It builds the capacity. That boy was a sweet kid to have around, and quite frankly, I was sorry when he left my class, because he was fun to be there, have there. Remember the one he sat in the back?
Quote on your placemat?
Yes, he has a quote on my placemat.
Yes.
He was a fun kid. Other teachers couldn't handle him. It wasn't that he was a bad kid. He just didn't have a capacity. When you talk to people, when you listen to people, listen with the heart of God. Speak with the heart of God. Discern with the heart of God. Approach with the heart of God. Because there really are only the two kingdoms. And I really do function in one of them at all times. It's not like I function in one of them when I'm in church, and then when I'm out of church, the kingdoms go away. No, they are there, and they are real, and they are present. And I am drawing my source as a believer from one or the other. And I will usher in one or the other. And it doesn't have to be in religion. It's just in godliness. In doing all things decently and in order. Not just in order, but decently. Decently. Where godliness prevails. A lot of people want order without decently. This is the crowd that gets angry easily when they don't get what they want. These people turn out often to be abusive. They can be abusive spouses or parents or whatever. Or abusive toward anyone who happens to fall under their table of organization. They can be abusive teachers. It's decently. What does decently mean? With godliness. With the character and the nature of God. And in order. You cannot separate the two. They don't exist apart. So I do all things decently and in order. And godliness establishes a foundation. And that foundation then builds a capacity for people to respond. And as people are respond to godliness, then godly order is established. It doesn't take... I've never once said a harsh word or yelled at a student or at a class that I can think of. If I'm wrong, correct me. But I cannot think of one time. But I have very good order. Better order than any other teacher I know. And that's not boasting. That's just because I know how to establish it. It's not really very difficult. You just have to hear from the Spirit. Did that answer your question?